beginning of every new semester of seminary studies, when I was studying to become a priest, I had to give myself the same pep talk at the end of the first day of classes. It always went something like this. It's okay, right? You'll get it all done somehow. It just looks like an impossible load right now, one day at a time. You see, I would, of course, receive all of the new syllabi on that first day for the multiple classes I had to take. And when I'd go home and look at them all together at once and see all of the numerous papers that I have to write, tests to be taken, reading assignments to do in the course of that semester, it'd freak out a little bit, right? How in the world am I ever going to get all this work done? And that's when I'd have to give myself that pep talk. You'll get it all done, but not all at once. Right now you're looking at it at once, but it's going to be spread out one day at a time. It'll get done. Just start with what you have to do today. It would usually work to calm me down at least for a little while. Sometimes I wonder if that feeling of overload can plague us a little bit when we hear a gospel like today's gospel, especially when you combine it with last Sunday's gospel. Because there's no doubt that Jesus is calling us to a pretty high bar, right? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Be perfect. If you're like me, it might be easy to think, okay, this is impossible. Nobody can fulfill this. Of course, the reality is that it is possible. We can live according to the Lord Jesus' instructions. It is possible to do, and the way that we know it's possible is threefold. First of all, because Jesus is God and he's telling us to do it. And God never asks us to do something which is impossible. Because if he were to do that, that would be really, really cruel, right? And God is perfect goodness. Now, is it challenging? Well, absolutely. Impossible? No. Second, we know we can accomplish Jesus' instructions because we will do so not by our own effort, but through the assistance of his grace. If we had to do it on our own, it would be impossible. But when we cooperate with God, he gives us the spiritual strength and patience and determination to stay the course and to follow his teachings. And third, we can trust that we will be able to follow Jesus' instructions because Jesus himself is the best of teachers in that he doesn't just tell us to turn the other cheek, love our enemies, pray for your persecutors. He gives us that example himself. He prayed for those who were nailing him to the cross. He loves everyone, even those who hated him and crucified him. When he was tortured and beaten, he didn't respond with violence, but with bold patience and determination. And he gives of himself in a way that is infinitely generous. In other words, he practiced what he preached. And we might say, well, okay, maybe it's possible, but how, right? How can we possibly do all of these things that Jesus is challenging us to do? Especially, again, when you combine it with the challenges from last Sunday's gospel. How can we love our neighbor, not even get angry when we are mistreated, avoid sin at all costs, turn the other cheek, pray for our persecutors, seek to be perfect as God is perfect? Well, of course, it's going to look impossible when we consider all of those holy habits and tasks at once and think that we have to all of a sudden be able to accomplish them perfectly at once. But it's a little bit like facing a semester full of studies. In the end, you know that it will benefit you to do these things, right? But I have to take it one day at a time. With God's help, I can get there. It might take years. It might take my entire lifetime. But it's worth it. Because living in the way that Jesus instructs us is what will accomplish God's plan for me and for his church. It's what will bring me fulfillment and peace. And ultimately, it's the way to eternal life with Christ in heaven. So how? How can we begin this seemingly monumental task of loving our enemies, avoiding sin like the plague, being men and women of integrity, turning the other cheek, being humble, praying for our persecutors? Again, one day at a time, one moment at a time. Don't look at the whole task, just look at today. How can I put this into practice today? And here, allow me to say two things. First of all, something that we really have to try to remember, okay? And then something that we can practically do. So first, putting this into practice, something we have to try to remember. It's a very important point, brothers and sisters. And that is that to love someone, Jesus says, love your enemies, right? To love someone does not mean, first and foremost, that I feel love for that person. I've said this before, but I think it has to be said over and over again because of the fact that the society around us gets love so wrong so often, where love is just reduced to good feelings. But when Jesus says, love your enemies, he doesn't mean feel warm and fuzzy feelings about your enemies. No, he means love them. Love is not first and foremost a feeling. It's a choice. It's a decision, an act of my will. I make a choice to love someone, whether I feel like I do or not. In this instance, feelings don't matter. I choose to love someone when I make a choice to want or to wish for their good, for what is best for them. Ultimately, of course, that they might be saved and go to heaven. I may not feel warm and fuzzy about those whom I struggle to get along with or those who have hurt me in some way. But the question is, can I at least hope and pray that they be saved, that they get to heaven one day? The same could be said about praying for our enemies, praying for those who persecute us. To pray for someone is an act of the will. Again, feelings here don't really matter. So I might feel angry towards someone who has hurt me in some way, but that doesn't mean that therefore I can't really pray for them or that somehow because I feel angry, my prayers for them don't really count. I choose to pray for them, even if it's just hammering out an Our Father for them, right? I choose to do it whether I feel like it or not. Okay, that's what we have to remember. Now, as for something that we can practically do, as we know, the season of Lent begins this upcoming week with Ash Wednesday. And as we know, Lent is a time of increasing our prayer and our penance and reconciliation. So I'd like to challenge each one of us, myself very much included, to do one simple thing during Lent. And that is to think of one person in our lives, just one, okay? Just one. One person who has in some way maybe hurt us or caused us to be angry or frustrated, someone that we don't get along with, someone who has offended us in some way. One person whom I perhaps hold a grudge against or whom I sometimes feel angry toward. And I'd like to challenge each of us to pray one heartfelt Hail Mary for that person every day during Lent. Now, to do that would be to fulfill in a very practical daily way the challenges that our Lord laid out for us in the gospel today, because we'd be praying for those who have persecuted us in some way. And since we're praying for them, we want their good, we're loving them. So we'd also be loving our enemies, right? So think of one person who maybe has hurt me in some way, and then pray one Hail Mary for them every single day during the Lenten season. Now, if everybody in the parish did that, I can guarantee right now, right here, that the reconciliation and hope and peace that we all hope for in our lives and in our homes would see a definite increase. Lent is the perfect time to put into practice the challenging, yes, but fulfilling words of our Lord in the gospel today. So let's be willing to take up that challenge and do it one day, one moment at a time, and begin to see not only just how possible, but how beautiful Jesus' way of life truly is.